The Lead Story is proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.
My name's Angie Scholes, and in our business lead this evening, I'm joined by Solomon Hay from High Economic Intelligence. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Angie, and thank you to your listeners, and thank you for having me.
How do high electricity costs impact the financial sustainability and productivity regarding Namibia's green schemes?
So the green schemes are essentially part of the next phase of industrialization, in the sense that you want to become food sufficient. You want to be able to then move towards manufacturing, which means that you'll be able to do processing and value addition of the products that you are currently irrigating under the green scheme. Now, remember that the green scheme is powered through either normal grid or through IPP, which is the independent power producers, or the alternative sources of energy. Now, as you ramp up on production, as you ramp up on harvesting, as you ramp up on trying to sustain what you have planted, you definitely need power. Now, you know very well that our current power supply, or rather we are a net importer of power. We don't necessarily produce all our power locally at this current stage. So what that means is that the input to this particular product, which essentially is the green scheme, has to come from power. And there's a cost that accompanies the input into what we now want to perhaps refer to as the green scheme. So if your cost per unit of electricity is high, it means that your production of the particular hectare of harvesting would also carry a certain amount of cost. So that would mean that you would not even be able to compete with the heads what we import as essential commodities for households, because from a price perspective, you would have to factor in that electricity or that power unit cost that then goes into your final product. So if your input costs are much higher in relation to other products that you are importing, or you want to be competitive with your export market, or you want to be able to supply the domestic demand, it would mean that the final product would subsequently also be on the high end. And that subsequently would have a huge dent on the financial sustainability of your final commodity, and subsequently the sustainability of continuity for the investment.
What are the broader economic implications if energy costs continue to undermine local food production efforts?
Well, what that would mean is that, one, the product would not be competitive in terms of an export market, but at the same time, it would mean that we potentially could continue to import a product that is much cheaper than the one being produced within the domestic market. But I feel the bigger concern would be that it pushes up the basket of essential commodities for households. So it will then mean that the standard of living increases, and subsequently what that would mean, it could have another additional impact on your inflation in the medium to long term. So there are implications, and one now need to understand what are the current drivers of high input or this high cost of electricity in Namibia. And once you've got a better understanding of that, one will then be able to work it back. But for immediate purposes, it would mean the higher standards of life, less competitive product for the domestic market, and subsequently a greater input of cheaper products.
Could high input costs like electricity make Namibia more dependent on food imports? And what does that mean for the country's balance of payment?
Well, yeah, it does. I mean, it would mean that we would be importing essential commodities, because the majority of households' consumables come from what we perhaps term as crops. So it would mean that we again become a net importer of food, already being a net importer of electricity. And subsequently, that would mean that our balance for payment could be skewed to the other side. So it can mean that we would potentially have negative balance payments. So the reality is that this is not what one wants to do, but one needs to understand what are the drivers of cost or electricity, the cost effective tariff that we are currently having? What is the impediments of having more independent power producers that can feed into the grid and perhaps also into the South African power pool? You must remember that for Namibia, it's important to have competitive electricity or energy prices, because we are still pre-industrialization. And for a country like Namibia to industrialize, it would have to have a very competitive tariff rate for energy. So in absence of that, it would really be a difficult journey on our industrialization dream. So that would mean that we would not be competitive, and subsequently it could keep us highly dependent on essential commodities from outside.
From an economic standpoint, what tariff reforms or pricing models could make green schemes more viable without compromising the financial health of power suppliers?
There's obviously commercial tariffs, industrial tariffs, and then there's household tariffs. The tariff regime, well, it's cost reflective. And through that, then you tend to see that perhaps because the tariffs are cost reflective, it's on the higher end. But at the same time, you might remember that what is the cross subsidization between park electricity users and your normal consumers? What is the price variation between the two? And also, you must understand that are the green schemes in the special economic zone in terms of the strategic importance that they carry for the country? And as part of that process, to what extent then do they enjoy a basis of a cross-subsidization or some level of a haircut in terms of their prices? And you know, when I say that, I mean where there's a subsidy or a certain component of the tariff because of the strategic importance that they carry. So one needs to understand the greater play in terms of what the lay of the land looks like, having considered the bulk supply
so for electricity, like I said, which is commercially industrial, what is their tariff? And then you need to consider what is the household tariffs. And through that, one would then be in a position to say, what is the cross-subsidization of this? And then obviously the most important one, because of our industrialization ambitions as a country for 2030, are these green schemes classified as one of the specialized economic zones? And if indeed they do, what is the tariff reduction as a consequence of that? Or what level of that or tax break do they get that they can then feed it back as a reduction in their total cost for electricity?
Mr. Hay, I don't want to keep you. Just a last question. What macroeconomic benefits could arise if energy-efficient and sustainable tariff models are successfully implemented?
What that could mean is that we would have competitive products. What that would mean is that these competitive products would bring about efficiency. It would mean that it could potentially lead to greater job opportunities because of creating more sort of export base. When I say an export base, the productive capacity increases. So when you've got a greater productive capacity, it means that your capabilities for competitive and efficient products increases, and subsequently your balance of payments improve, because subsequently you would have a greater impetus on your exports as opposed to your imports. So there's greater benefits for jobs, there's greater benefit for export, there's greater benefit for even VAT in terms as a component for income on the revenue side for the fiscus. And subsequently, the greatest one perhaps is that food sufficiency, that one now as a country, you would be self-reliant on the essential commodities that the majority of your consumers go by on a daily basis.
Mr. Hay, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you taking time for us.
Thank you for having me.
The lead story was proudly brought to you by Alex Forbes. Alex Forbes, insight, advice, impact.